Good evening. I call to order the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Today is March 24th, 2026, and the time is 5:30 p.m. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Hutton.
Here.
Mr. Dinkins.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note that this meeting is being live streamed and recorded. There are two cameras in use this evening. One focused on the Board of Education and another may be used during public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge that you may be captured on video. As a reminder, if you wish to address the board during public commentary, please fill out one of the forms that's in the back corner on that red table and hand it in to Jamie, our administrative assistant. Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
We have none tonight, sir.
As we have none, can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Do we have support?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Dinkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Huck.
Yes, and the motion carries. Next, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his first comments.
All right, thank you very much. So my first set of comments, I would like to ask, as many of you are aware, last week we lost a student, one of our fifth graders. And so if we could just take a moment of silence for Noah, I would really appreciate that. Thank you. So I have one other. Let's see, I see a shadow coming. Nope. So we have a high school student. If you look over, you're going to see a beautiful little beautiful owl there. And so Glenn Zorn, our high school student, Nolan, will be coming in a few minutes. And when they get here, we're going to kind of just pivot quickly to honor the work that he did. And then I'll have Tom and Stacy talk about that beautiful piece of work and why it's at our school. So that's it for my first set of comments, sir.
Okay, thank you. Public commentary for board agenda items only. Do we have any, Brian?
Clarification, are we in work session or board meeting?
We're in a board meeting.
This is okay. Board meeting.
All right. Yes, we do.
For agenda items?
Yes, we have one.
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Ziegler? All right.
Good evening.
That's the fancy clock we have now.
I love it.
I know. We're in the 21st century.
We are very fancy.
So I'm going to start this thing, and you go ahead.
My name is Sarah Sweat Ziegler, and as many of you know, I am part of the Monroe City Education Association leadership. I'm here tonight to encourage you to vote for the severance package that Mr. Shaw and his cabinet have put together to save the district money in a humane way. During my 24 years of teaching at MHS and my 20 years as a member of my union's bargaining team, our district has faced some serious financial difficulties. Every person eligible for the proposed severance package has experienced mass layoffs, pink slips, frozen pay, unpaid furlough days, substantially increased healthcare costs, and reduced benefits. And yet, we stayed. We stayed and worked harder for less pay. We stayed and made do with fewer supplies and less support staff. We stayed when our school buildings were closed and when we were moved to new buildings or new assignments. We stayed when our classrooms had 38 students and not enough desks for all of them to sit in. We stayed when a contract was forced upon us during arbitration. We stayed when we did not feel appreciated by the state of Michigan or by our school district. We stayed when we were forced to pivot to online learning during COVID, and we stayed when we came back from COVID and had to help our students readjust to being together. every single person on that list stayed. Every single person who has stayed has made sacrifices, and they have remained steadfast, loyal, and committed to our students and our community. The proposed severance package honors and acknowledges the outstanding service these folks have provided to our students and community. It also allows people to leave our district by their own choice, on their own terms. On the flip side, if the severance package does not pass, cuts are still going to need to be made. And many people have already stated, certified staff make up the largest portion of our school district's budget. So it is reasonable to believe that staffing cuts will still need to be made. In this scenario, folks would be laid off and forced to look for a job outside of the district. The first time I was pink slipped by MPS, I was a new homeowner, the main source of income for my family, and I carried our health insurance. I was putting my husband through college so he could make a career change, and he's now a teacher for us at Raisinville. We were raising our little boy, and we were trying to figure out how we could afford to have a baby. We lived paycheck to paycheck. When this mass layoff happened, my anxiety and fear went through the roof. I don't want to see history repeat itself with our newer teachers. I don't want them to feel what I felt. I don't want them to have that fear and uncertainty and anxiety. This severance package could help our district minimize or even eliminate the need for certified staff layoffs. It could be a compassionate way to save money. The severance package honors the years of sacrifice and service that our veteran teachers have given to our students and our community. And I need you to know that I'm not saying this because I'm going to take it, because I'm not. I've done the math. It doesn't work for me. But I'm saying it because it's important to honor the people who have been here through everything. And it's important to recognize that our newer teachers want to be here too. Thank you for your service and also for the thoughtful consideration that you put into making these decisions. Your job's not an easy one, but it does have a very real impact on our district's employees, our district's students, and our whole community. So I appreciate you. Please vote yes for the severance package.
Thank you. Is that the only one?
That is the only one, sir.
Okay, thank you.
So the good news is,
you want to jump?
I would. We could.
Okay, I will turn over to Superintendent Shaw for some recognition.
Since the public comment is done, thank you very much. We do have Nolan and Mr. Zorn in the room and Ms. Leah. So if you want to step up, and Tom, I want to turn this kind of over to you because I know you and Stacy were part of the Ducks Unlimited. I'm going to give this one to you here, sir.
Okay. Just a little bit of background. The Ducks Unlimited had their annual dinner Saturday night, which Stacy and I were privileged to attend. And this is...
Carrie was there, too.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Carrie was there, too. Apologize. If anyone who's been there, they know there's a lot of auctioning going on, as well as raffles, and it's a big moneymaker for Ducks. So Nolan, as well as the CTE department, donated a welded sculpture to Ducks for auction, which Stacy and I were privileged to bid on and win. And as a result, that we would like to donate it back to the school for display here at the administration building. I should also note that the CTE department also had a deer blind as well that was auctioned off, and I don't know who purchased that or what kind of money that brought, but we thank you to donate that as well. So, Nolan, could you explain what you've done here? Because I know this is an incredible piece of work.
You got to get right into that microphone because that camera is right on you, so all your friends are watching.
Yeah, no problem. So basically, me and him kind of got the idea. Initially, we always wanted a wheel and everything else, like, to go along with the sculpture. We didn't really know what animal to go with, and we kind of just kept going upon birds, pheasants, everything else. And then we just kind of set on an owl almost, and We first started the entire body just with a piece of pipe, and we ended up slitting them out, heating them up, and then bending it in just to shape the bottom of it. And then we cut another section of pipe, which we're going to see, like, the head kind of just, like,
comes around, just right here, sorry about that.
It goes around, and then we just welded a couple more plates on to kind of build the structure. And then once we had the structure, we started layering on the feathers just as an owl would, layering them just the same way, going out all the way in. Repeated that a lot, heating up all the feathers, beating them in, and prepping all the metal. And then building the feet, obviously, eyes, and there was just a lot that went into it. And honestly, I couldn't have done it without Zorn. I really appreciate everything he's done for us.
But how many hours do you think you have into that?
I don't know. Yeah, like a month and a half at least, yeah. I think. Yeah. It was a lot of work. I would say that for sure. And I'm glad that you guys were able to purchase it. I think that was a huge thing, and that if other kids can come and see it, that it'll inspire them to do some other stuff. I feel like that being able to have those CT departments at Monroe was like a huge aspect. I really love that, because I feel like even kids, like obviously myself, like I had kind of that hands-on experience with my dad, obviously, but he never knew anything about welding, and I was like I've learned a lot of this stuff, and being able to touch in on that at Monroe was a huge thing for me, and I'm really happy that you guys have that program there. Yeah. And I feel like the other kids can benefit off of it. Even kids that have never touched anything in their life, they can come in and just learn a little bit, even if it's just changing a tire in a car, everything else. Mm-hmm. Like those are basic needs that really help kids go into the true world, and I feel like that's something everybody needs. You know what I mean? I feel like that's a great aspect, and I really appreciate everybody that has put towards that CT department.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you. Great job.
Nolan, too, if I remember our discussion, you are going to Lawrence Tech to study engineering.
Yeah.
And you're going on a football scholarship as well. So
yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
How do you pronounce your last name, though?
Cassiopo.
Cassiopo.
Yep.
I just asked what your last name was.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it's pretty complicated. You should have listened to the guys saying it at the auction. It was pretty funny. I don't even know what they said. I think it was something like Casopo or something like that. Saying over the loudspeakers is pretty funny, too. It's always something different, never the same.
One thing, when Stacy and I were kind of sitting more in the back, and this wasn't on the list of auction items. They just kind of verbalized it at the end.
Yeah. Initially, it was going to be a raffle. They were going to raffle it off, but I guess when I got there, they saw, like, we had to describe it to them, and they saw, like, the process, and they weren't sure how it was going to be, if it was something that was, like, worth auctioning. Yeah. And then when it kind of got there, they were like, oh, this is something, like, that we really think that we can make more money off of auctioning and everything else. So that they threw it on there, and it was kind of like one of those last-second things. So. Yeah.
From where we were sitting, all I could see was the owl.
Yeah.
And thank God I had my pickup truck there, and you guys helped me put
it in
the pickup truck.
Yep. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Again, thank you very much for it.
Of course, no problem. Thank you so much for purchasing it.
Thank
it meant
you,
a lot.
So, hold on. Yeah. I know. You want to run. So, do you have anything you want to say, or you want Leah to say it for you?
Go ahead.
I want whatever. I don't. I mean, I appreciate you guys, you know, purchasing it, and it was a fun night. It was fun to watch Nolan there that night and get the recognition there. So it was just a good night all around. So
awesome.
Well, anytime I get the chance, you know, I like to brag on my instructors and my students. But I've worked with Glenn for how many years? I'm 24, and you were
20
there.
Years,
yeah, for 20 years 20, at the high school, and. You know, he's an expert in his trade, and the students leave and they know how to weld. And there's no question about that. But I always say, I think if in his next life he might be an art teacher.
I don't know about that.
Because, no, the students do the coolest projects for the Mites competition. And that they put them into that competition in the spring, which is coming up. But they're almost always mixed media pieces, which you can. This one is too. I mean, there's not a lot of wood with it. But some of the pieces that they do are very elaborate, and it's a combination of wood and metal typically. And they come up with some beautiful things. So even though it's a trades class and he's teaching them a skill that if they choose to go into industry, they have a great start in that industry with, they still have an outlet. It's a two-hour block of their day that they get to go do something that they enjoy. And you heard Nolan explain the process. I'm sure not every day of it was enjoyable.
No.
But I think a lot of it was, and definitely the final product is amazing. And that's not atypical of things that come out of Mr. Zorn's classroom. So I really appreciate that about him.
Thank you.
And there's a purchase coming up in a little while that will help the students in his shop be able to process the metal that comes in much more efficiently so that the projects can go quicker. Yeah. So
it's good timing. Like, yeah.
Good timing, yes. Little plug for that. So but we, as always, you know, we certainly appreciate all of the support that you give to CTE. So thank you.
Definitely. I'm always like, when we walk in the welding area, I'm always like, this is the coolest stuff. Like, I know I've seen it before, but I'm always like, oh, my gosh, you know. So it's really amazing, the stuff that comes out.
Thank you.
Well, so, and it's fun to see Nolan recognized because he's a really good welder. He's an excellent student. He's an excellent athlete. And I got to experience a situation this week, which we won't talk about, but he's a really great brother, too. So just a really all-around great guy.
All right. Well, thank you both all for coming in. I know we do have a picture of the four of you already from the other night, so we're going to use that in our week in review. And I know Wendy's already captured pictures here, so,
okay, so
we are good to go.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we got
thank
some really
you.
Nice
thank,
ones. So
thanks again.
Thank you all for coming
thank
in.
Thank you so much.
All right. Now I'm done with that first part.
Okay. Next is board discussion and action items. We have our contracted services and resignation reports. Is there any discussion from board members? Hearing none, I'll go on to our consent agenda. Are there any items that the board members would like to have moved off the consent agenda and moved over to new business? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move that agenda item B2A be considered as consent agenda and the consent agenda item be approved as recommended.
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini?
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes. And the motion carries. Before we move into new business, I want to provide some background and context on our agenda items. All items on our agenda have either been discussed in depth at a prior work session and or have been addressed in our weekly board briefs. So although we may move through some of these agenda items quickly, I just want the public to know that they've all been discussed thoroughly with diligence prior to tonight's meeting. Also, as a reminder, our work sessions are open to the public and are live streamed. Next, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for the Enhancement Millage Renewal Support Resolution.
So tonight, this has been done around the county by other boards of education along with other entities inside our county. There's a resolution in front of you to support, for the Board of Education to support the Regional Enhancement Millage Resolution as presented.
Thank you. Can I get a motion regarding support for the enhancement millage renewal?
I move to approve the regional enhancement millage renewal resolution as presented.
Support.
Discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Sabadini?
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes, and the motion carries.
So our next item is a certified staff severance plan. Last night we went over this plan, and so it is our recommendation the Board of Education approve the employee certified staff severance plan as presented.
Can I get a motion regarding the employee severance plan for certified staff?
I move to approve the employee severance plan for certified staff as presented.
Support.
Discussion?
So, Sarah, thank you for your comments and sharing the history of which I was not aware of, so I appreciate that. I've made several statements that, you know, the value that I believe that long-term teachers bring into the system, but, you know, the other thing I'm reminded of, this is choice. So I'm all for people making their own decisions for their own reasons, for their own purpose. So I think that goes with what you said.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
I appreciate that. Just for clarity's sake, and I know there's people watching, that at 7 p.m. tonight, an email will go out as predetermined by the union if this was passed. So at 7 o'clock, the email will go out to all the certified staff who qualify for this plan. So our next item is a City of Monroe lease agreement. For those who have had a chance to go over and see the new library going in, well, our learning bank is going inside there. And so the City of Monroe and all of their planning around the new library is was committed a long time ago to the learning bank being inside there. And so we do have a lease agreement that the city has put together for us. And it's similar to one that they have with another group, too. It's a $1 lease agreement for 1 year. It's a 1 year because they're really getting used to how everything works. Our obligation is we have to clean our area. So that's the two conference rooms and the two our two offices and the two conference rooms and our little foyer area. And then once everything goes really well, then it becomes most likely a multi-year lease next year at this time if everything works out the way they believe. So we do recommend the approval of the lease agreement as presented between the City of Monroe and Monroe Public Schools for the joint use of the Arthur Lessel Community Center located at 120 East Chester Street, Monroe, Michigan, 4161, as presented for utilization by the Learning Bank.
Thank you. Can I get a motion regarding the lease?
I move to approve the lease agreement as presented between the City of Monroe and Monroe Public Schools for the joint use of the Arthur Lezo Community Center located at 120 East Chester Street, Monroe, Michigan, as presented for utilization by the Learning Bank.
Support.
Discussion?
So the if I remember reading whatever, the dollar is for in from here for out. The dollar is an ongoing.
I can't. I don't know.
I was reading what the contract language.
Yeah, my
right
guess.
Now says.
I have no clue if it's like each year that when we renew the lease, we have to give them another dollar. I don't know.
So the lease is per year right now.
This is just a 1 year lease.
So it's only for the
this is from now until next year at this time.
Right. I believe it said that you were responsible. We were responsible for furnishing our space.
Right. Our own. We have to our own furnishings. Yes, but as far as like. responsibilities once we're into the building.
Was there any idea on the cost that would run the district to do that? I'm not saying I'm against it, I'm just asking.
No, I'm not.
Do we have furniture at the current site that we just move over there?
We do have some.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. We do have some current furniture. I'm not sure if all of it will be able to be moved or not. And I wasn't involved in the beginning discussion, so I don't know what was discussed as far as furnishing the area, but they do have some items that could certainly be moved and used over there.
A majority of the area has built in, and it's part of the project.
Okay. Yep.
And we're moving much of our technology over there. The cost will be running some data cables and moving the fiber from the current location across to that location. Yep. And then once we get everything up and running, we'll terminate and pull the rest of the stuff out of the old site. So it's more of the infrastructure. A lot of the stuff that they're going to be using is just going to get moved over or pre-built with the project.
Right. That's correct. Like they, and totally give them credit for not wanting the vintage wooden desk in the modern, beautiful space. Okay. Feng shui with the 1970s desk. They're not looking for that look.
Well,
as Mr. Payne said, it's minimal.
So what is the age group that we're looking at through the Learning Bank over there? Is it all ages?
So the Learning Bank typically serves 17 and older, I think, or 18.
I thought it was adult.
It's an adult.
I didn't know if that was going to change at all, if there was anything else over there, like any kind of tutoring that would be offered through schools or anything like that.
I know the center usually does have some tutoring opportunities.
Yeah.
And then we will have a GED testing site within the area that is reserved for us.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple. Go ahead.
Sorry, I know Dave.
There's
and
a couple
David
different options for adult learners. Minors can. attempt their GED with a waiver, because of course they're minors, and there's obviously other avenues here with Monroe Public Schools. But they also have a diploma track for those students that are not of school age. So a couple different options for our adult learners there.
Thank you. I just thought people might want to know what
Absolutely.
The plan was. So thank
you. Two questions, Dave. Do we own the current building on the corner?
We do. We lease that from the city.
We lease it. Okay, I just want to make sure. You got any idea what they're going to do with that building?
It's coming down.
It's coming down? Okay. Just curious.
And for the, I haven't been down by the center lately. Is it ready to be moved in, or is it?
I spoke with the director. She said they've pushed back the opening date to the beginning of June. It's, you know, today anyone in construction knows that's it was an ambitious date, I think, to begin with, but it's moving along and it's beautiful.
So we'll be able to move in sometime this summer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like three levels, I think, of the plans.
We did begin running cables Monday morning, so we are in there doing things. It's just some of the final stuff is going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah. Okay, great. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, our 26-27 school calendar, Mr. Malalepsy.
Yeah, we asked the board to approve the Monroe Public Schools calendar for the 26-27 school year, contingent upon approval of a pre-Labor Day start waiver by the Michigan Department of Education.
Can I get a motion regarding the 2026-27 school calendar?
So I move to approve the Monroe Public School calendar for 2027 school year, contingent upon approval of the pre-Labor Day start waiver by Michigan Department of Education. I'd also like to include on there that if that waiver is not, that it comes back to the board before it moves on.
Well, it has to.
Yeah. Just thought I'd put that in there.
Support.
Further, any discussion?
I just have a couple of questions. So looking at the calendar in March 2027.
Yes.
There is a two-hour early release on Friday the 12th. Is there a reason why it was chosen on the 12th instead of the 25th that backs up against that vacation? Because that's kind of...
Yes.
Okay.
Because typically after spring break, we start testing. And any last-minute adjustments, testing qualification for teachers, getting ducks in a row for that month-long task.
Okay.
So we wanted to give people plenty of time, but we did think to put it on the 25th. As you know, a lot of the orange days on that calendar butt up to a long weekend or vacation.
Okay. And then similarly, looking at May in 2027, the two-hour early release that's on the 21st, instead of putting it on the 28th so it backs up to Memorial Day weekend, is there a reason for that decision?
I'm going to... Terry, if you want to jump in on this when I'm done, if I don't answer it fully, but looking at the spacing between the two-hour early releases for professional development, we know that there are tasks to complete for the end of the year, and we wanted that extra week. So that was the rationale behind that.
One of the tasks that is often done at the elementary is the creation of class lists.
Okay.
So we felt like putting it on the 21st allowed a little extra time for teachers to be able to complete that. And, you know, if there were any students who had questions about special education or any type of support services, we would have time to get those answers.
All right. Thank you.
So I thought when we had the conversation about the calendar that the idea was to eliminate as many, because last calendar we eliminated, I think, almost all two-hour delays and moved them to half days because we were told they were better because they, I think, if I remember what people said, that 2 hours you really can't do a whole lot, so we wanted the full days. So it seems like this calendar has quite a few 2 hours that everybody said
Yes.
Does it make sense? Why?
I'd be happy to explain. We listen to the board. We understand that half days are difficult. And what we quickly realized when planning full days of PD, when you stagger those to the beginning of the school year to get going and get people trained, then you realize it's January, February, March, April, May, June, and you have no meeting time set aside. And that's the challenge with those full days. So we elected for 2-hour early releases. We know it's a challenge for our parents and guardians, but we did butt those up to a weekend, thinking that it's less inconvenient to find childcare on a Thursday or Friday or something before a long weekend.
So I still don't understand the conversation that during 2-hour PD, it's not very conducive because by the time everybody gets in there, this is what we were told, and this was the teachers and the staff telling us, not me, that by the time they get in there and they get anything, they really don't have much time. So which was the whole reason we got rid of those. So I always wonder why we go back to things that everybody was...
I got a great answer for you.
I'm sure you do. Go for it. You know what I'm going to ask, so you have the answers.
I try. When we have a 2-hour delay in the morning, everyone gets there, everyone's going, and before you know it, you got 10 kids that got dropped off and are there already, and you have a whole bunch more that are waiting to get in, and everyone's anxiety levels rise up when students start showing up 30 minutes before school starts. So... you may only get out of a 2-hour delay, you may only, or two, yeah, a 2-hour delay, you may only get an hour and 15, hour and 10 minutes of PD before everyone is, you can tell the body language that everyone is checked out and ready for the 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours ahead. Moving it to the end of the day, students are gone, there are no disruptions, and PD can last from bell to bell, essentially, until... teacher could contract a day ends. So that's the rationale.
You didn't.
And it also sounds...
undo what they all said, and just so you know.
Well, one of the things that's really different with this is that instead of a 2-hour late start, it's a 2-hour early release.
It still messes up family schedules when they have jobs and they have all kind of stuff like that. So the whole idea was let's make it useful for the staff, but let's also help the families because we know that people did not like that 2-hour. Like, that just messes up people's lives.
Yeah, we tried really hard and we tried many, many configurations of doing just full days, but we couldn't get the number of days and the number of hours for student contact time and the number of hours that we needed for
PD time. Then why not do half days instead of 2 hours? I mean, do less 2-hour days, do half days, which I heard, like, I think it was pretty general consensus that everybody was very happy that the 2 hours were gone. So I'm just not understanding why I would want to go back and put what everybody said wasn't functioning back in. So why not just do those half days? I just don't understand that.
I think I've picked up on what you've just shared, and also... one, not all PD is created the same, right? So like the full day PD, correct me if I'm wrong, full day PD will likely be intensive trainings that require hours on end. So that might be we're rolling out a new curriculum. We have to go a deep dive into this because it's 3 hours in the morning and it's 3 hours in the afternoon. The full day PD also might be we are all going to be doing a refresher on how to support students that need intensive reading interventions. That might be a full day PD because it requires that amount of time to cover that content. However, in the 2-hour early releases, that might be more of, hey, we all need to touch base because we have standardized testing coming up. We need to make sure that everybody has their test books, that everybody has access to the other resources that you need, that calculators are going to be stored here. We're communicating information that can be completed in 2 hours, that time span. And then from what Terry was sharing, I think another reason why these 2 hours were added in, it sounds like, tell me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. that because there's the need to have these types of contact points and these discussions that are more than an email, but less than a full day, they added in these two-hour early releases so that they could, during these peak moments, right, so like the March meeting to discuss upcoming standardized tests, for the May two-hour early release to discuss class lists. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a full day, but it's a pivotal moment in the school year when teachers and administrators need to meet, get something done. Yeah?
If I know we have very several teachers and administrators in the audience. If any of you would like to express your opinion.
Can I?
Okay. Please.
You're quite comfortable there now, so go.
Just get me a seat. So I helped negotiate the calendar. And in the past, to give you context, to provide some history, to go back to my social studies roots, in the past, we used to have staff meetings every month. And when we took pay cuts and freezes, a concession that the district gave us was we got rid of those staff meetings after school, because they were all after school. So we have not had staff meetings after school hours, gosh, since 2014, maybe? 2013, 2014, somewhere in there. So these serve, like, the 2 hours serve lots of purposes. Mary outlined a lot of them, but it's also, it sort of takes the place of the staff meetings that were done away with. So it allows departments to get together. It allows grade levels to get together, because we don't, at the high school, especially in the middle school, sometimes we don't all have the same planning period. So there's no time built in our school day when we can get together and talk about our curriculum, talk about like where we are with our like testing, like all the different things. So it provides time for departments. It provides time for curriculum work. Often for the CTE department, which I'm a part of now, we do some of our, like, we have specialized paperwork that we have to do, so we get some training on that paperwork. So it allows for lots of, I don't know how to say it, but, like, just like, business-like things to take place. And we do recognize that it is sometimes a hardship on the community, because I have kids, I get it. But it's the best way to get done what needs to happen at the right times of the year. Because we also do school improvement work during that time. We look at data during that time to figure out, like, our academics, like, where our holes are and where we need to shore things up with different students. So, like, it is utilized. The 2 hours in the morning was not good for most people because, like, David had mentioned, like, to shift from, like, PD mode to, like, I got a bunch of kids in front of me mode, it's a lot more difficult than to make the shift the other way, to go from, like, okay, I've done my work day, my kids are all good, now I can focus here. So changing the timing of the 2 hours is going to be really helpful. And this adds a significant amount of PD to our school year, more than we had prior. The state requires us to have 30. I think it's 30. Mm-hmm. So the calendar that's before you is 48 hours of PD, but we have a very young staff. So we have a very young staff, and we also need time for our teachers to be mentored and do all the things. So I can answer questions.
If I could take one more
yep.
point that might help too, is by going with a 2 hour early dismissal rather than a half day, you get lunches are taken care of in there.
Correct.
Plus, then we start to think about attendance. It's easier for a parent to say, okay, well, hey, I'm going to keep my child home because it's a half day. A two hour early dismissal at the end of the day. Now it's a bigger choice on that side too. So there's a factor. There's all factors being placed.
So what I was listening to, and I'm looking at the calendar, because I think about people. Most people have two incomes in their home. So five of the months that they're in school, they have to tell their bosses. The one Friday, we will no have school, so I'll either not be able to go to school or try to figure that out. And then there's another day I have to leave early. So that's like people telling their boss, two out of the 4 days on Fridays, we cannot meet our obligations for a job. And I think that's very challenging and difficult for people because, you know, not too many bosses are too keen on the fact to say, you know, I'm not sure, you know, even what the school system would say if they said, hey, we're probably not going
to
do it.
I think we could also make the argument the other way, that we're the bosses and we're trying to make our staff better, providing this time to them.
So but it affects everybody in the community. It affects all the
families.
Parents. It affects all the
it
teachers.
Does.
I don't disagree.
And people were really excited over the fact that they didn't have to deal with that anymore. So I'm trying to understand how it is beneficial to have 5 days out of the month where people have to miss 2 days of their job, 2 days of possibly of their job.
Or so in the month of September, on one Friday, it's 2 hours.
So I did.
In the month of September. Yes, in the month of October, there's a Friday. The whole Friday is off. The kids are home. Then we
January,
go into November.
March, April.
December. But
I mean, I did count them.
Yeah. So the yellows.
There's five. I didn't count the yellows. I only counted the Fridays.
The oranges are two-hour early dismissals.
Right. I was only looking at the grays and the oranges. I did not even take into account the yellows, which I guess I should because there's no school on those days either. So that's even more problematic. And I'm just making what I know people are thinking.
The grays are are days off either due to a national holiday and or spring break or Christmas vacation.
It's still the same thing, Andy. It doesn't matter why you're not in school. It's still 2 days out of the week that you know.
Okay.
It's still true.
I hear that.
So I could throw the yellows.
Do you need me anymore?
No.
No.
Thank you.
But I think that if we do take the vacations out, because vacations are going to happen if you're in this school system, if you're in Jefferson, if you're in Ida, if you're in Ann Arbor, if you're in Traverse City, those are going to happen no matter what school district you're in. So the thing that would be unique to Monroe Public Schools is how the PD is scheduled. Looking at that, there's one PD day that's a two-hour early release in September, a full day in October, and then backed up for the November break for Thanksgiving, there's a two-hour early release and then a full day PD backed up to the holiday, so it's for families going to just feel like a longer vacation. Same with December, that two-hour early release is backed up to the vacation, so it's just going to feel like a longer vacation. Same with January, that two-hour early release is backed up to Martin Luther King Day, so it's going to feel like a longer three-day weekend. So I hear you that it does look like there's a lot of time off of school, but I think looking at the number of PD days and where they're placed, most months have a single PD day.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
No.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, so our next item is the fire line replacement related work at Raisinville and Orchard. Mr. Payne.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. We're asking the board to approve the bid submitted by Angels General Construction of Detroit, Michigan for a fire alarm replacement and related work at Raisinville School and Orchard Center High School at a cost not to exceed $502,563.60. This project will be funded by the Site Sinking Fund Project. Be happy to answer any questions.
Let's start with the motion. Can I get a motion regarding the fire alarm replacement and related work?
I make a motion to approve the bid submitted by Angels General Construction of Detroit, Michigan for the firearm replacement and related work at Raisinville School and Orchard Center High School at a cost not to exceed $502,560. The project will be funded by the site sinking fund.
Do I have support?
Support.
Discussion?
For me, the obvious question is, no problem with Raisinville, but why do we want to sink about $250,000 into a school that we might be closing?
Yep. So
there's not going to be anybody there. Why do we need new fire alarms, fire escapes? I'm thinking, can we wait a month on this until a decision's made on Orchard?
So there's two things we can do right here. One is Dave and I were talking about it, and that you can take, and we were able to break it out. So what's the Raisinville cost? And so you could just approve Raisinville at this time and then come back to a decision at another time on Orchard. Because right now, you were correct. In April, we don't know what the decision will be as far as, and then if the board elects to move Orchard to the high school, what is the use of the school next year? Again, I'm going to restate many times, is that there is no recommendation of physically closing the building and or selling it. There will be some use, but what that use is, we don't know. So we could break that number out, and I think, Dave, you've got that number.
So if we're talking about keeping it, mm-hmm. and possibly I heard from you, using it pre-K type situation, those things are needed to be replaced at some point either way.
So that is correct.
That is correct. And if we wait, is there any...
It would delay us opening it back up, because that fire alarm system is probably one of the oldest, and we are really having trouble getting parts. I actually met with our electricians after this just to get an idea, because Mr. Shaw and I did discuss this, because, again, we don't want to waste money. But if the intention is to keep the building open, my job is to make sure it's safe and that it can be heated. And, you know, so my recommendation, unless there's a different direction, would be to put it in there.
I guess from a timing perspective, David, looks like, according to our schedule, we will be making a decision on Orchard at the board meeting on April 14th. Can it wait till then and still, if we decide to keep the building open, and still meet the timing?
It would be tight, but I think there's a possibility that we could. Okay. I mean, especially if there's a delay, like depending on what the use is, maybe we can work around that. We're always going on the timeline of, we got to get done by the middle of August, so we're ready for school to open back up. Yeah. Inspectors have to have time to check the work, testing, all that. So not knowing what the use is going to be, it does make a difference. So there's definitely an option that we have the engineering done, we have the bids in. We could approve one this board meeting and then wait and approve another one later based on the whatever the board's discretion or decision is later on. So
I would like to make clear that my comments do not say that I'm looking to move Orchard to Monroe, because I know right. how comments are misconstrued. So this board member is saying, I am not in any way making a predetermination. I'm just saying, if we keep the building and want to use the building for something, then it sounds like we're going to have to make this either way. So I don't see why waiting 3 weeks or a month really mean that much in the grand scheme of things. But
I would agree. I would agree. We're going to need the fire alarms anyways, and I would also argue that even if the place was vacant, you're going to need those.
I think when I look at this, and I understand, but, you know, we always talk about we're going to be on a hold, we're not going to be spending money until we get the budget aligned, because there's so many things that need to be done. We got to realize how much sinking fund money we have, what are the usage of that, you know, what are the other projects coming up, and we understand the importance of fire alarm systems, and none of us are suggesting it's not. But in waiting on this, because do you even have the number for Raisinville right now?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got?
It's so right now you're looking at $266,364 for one and $236 for the other one.
I'm just going to note that this is coming from the site sinking fund, sinking not the general fund.
Yeah, that's why I said sinking fund. But there's only so much sinking fund money available for all the projects that need to be done.
Cassie,
this wasn't on our list.
And save us all. You're running somewhere.
But this wasn't on our list until now.
No, this was actually part of the bond work. And due to a bidding snafu, it wasn't bid properly, so we had to pull it last year. This was actually tentatively supposed to be done last year. So this was the recap of the bond. We just moved it to site sinking fund project because of finishing manner.
So where are we at with sinking fund? Because I know we've been using some of it up. So this is another 266 out of that. So
this was part of the original when a month ago or so when Mr. Kohler from Kohler Architect was here. This was on that project list.
Okay.
And there is current budget available within the sinking fund for this project. Either way that you would.
Where would it balance it out at?
I don't have the number right in front of me, but I know I have it built in.
You can't pull it up.
Our tentative numbers.
It's not as simple as it sounds.
We don't have all the bids in yet, but when we did it, we had it set up so there was going to be at least $1 million left in fund balance.
Right. So wasn't there, but that has to last us till when? I don't want our funds to get so low that we have something come up that we have to don't have sinking funds to be able to address it. You know,
we would always keep $1 million.
Each year in the winter taxes, we receive sinking fund monies.
When is it again?
The winter tax bills. We just and got all it. That.
Mm-hmm. So we just filled up.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Yeah. The other thing was, if I recall reading in the way this was bid out, we have to accept an irregularity in the bidding process. Was this the one that had the irregularity?
The irregularity was logical. It was basically they broke it in two parts.
I believe it said in there that we had to accept the illogical bid process as well.
They didn't follow what was asked. What was asked is a total package, so they broke it in by school.
Right.
Which
and the other bidders were fine with that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the recommendation by Kohler was to accept their letter of explanation of the irregularity and go with this, just because it was also $100,000 cheaper.
Is there any penalty for only doing one school versus both?
Well, I did talk to Mr. Kohler, and we talked about if we did break it up, it would not be an issue for that. If you decide to just do Raisinville.
So it'll be all the fire alarm systems, so we won't need to do it again for quite a few years. One and done?
For a while. Not forever, but for a while.
Well, I get that. We're fighting about 5 years is what you're telling me on most things.
No, this would be longer.
Okay. So I'm going to request that you amend your motion to only include the cost for Raisinville in this current motion.
I'm not accepting the amended motion. I want it to go as it was.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
No.
Ms. Myers.
No.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
No. Motion still carries.
All right, MHS band purchase. Mr. Halepsy.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. We ask the board to move to approve a purchase of a Pearl drumline set and related accessories from Meyer Music at a cost not to exceed $30,286.30. This purchase will be funded by the high school music budget.
Can I get a motion regarding the Monroe High School band purchase?
I move to approve the purchase of a Pearl drumline set and related accessories from Meyer Music at a cost not to exceed $30,286.30. This purchase will be funded by the high school music budget.
Support. We have support. Okay. Thank you. Discussion?
I just want to reiterate, this is the band budget that we authorized earlier this year, the $100,000?
No.
This is a different part.
This is their capital outlay budget, and okay. Mr. Wesley and I spoke, in addition to him speaking with Mr. Malalepsy, and this is using what he has remaining this year and most of his allocation for next year.
No problem.
And there is some lead time. Yep.
No problem.
But aren't they getting band uniforms? Is that coming out of general? I thought that was...
They have not brought a proposal for the uniforms. It has been identified as a potential need in the coming number of years, but there's not anything.
For some reason, I thought that was like.
I believe
a thing
it's
coming.
Been mentioned as a forthcoming need, but not identified when, and it would be more than that. I would anticipate.
Kind of.
And I can actually shed light on that because my spouse may have just gone through that process. You will be flabbergasted at how much band uniforms cost. So it will be. I'm sure that all of the band students will be doing robust fundraising in the coming days, and the purchase of the band uniforms will be like a multi-year plan, I'm sure.
They're currently fundraising for new marching shoes, so if you haven't checked that out.
Shoes?
Oh, shoes? Specific shoes. They're going from Dinkles to...
Shoes. You know the brand?
What are Dinkles? That's a
They're brand. Going from white to black shoes.
White to black shoes.
New brand. Just out of curiosity, how much for a band uniform?
We don't want to know.
We don't want to know?
We don't want to know.
I got it. Okay.
It's quite shocking, and I haven't seen numbers in probably 15 years, so I can only imagine now.
I didn't mean to bring up something contentious. I just thought that was coming.
It has been identified as something that we do need to think about in the coming years, but it has not been solidified.
So I guess we're all happy that we're looking at drums.
Yes.
So.
Yep.
I heard they were in bad shape, so am I right? Yeah.
Don't get in bad shape. Okay.
Any further discussion?
I did hear that.
Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mr. Hack.
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, MHS, CTE, iron worker purchasers.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. We ask the board to move to approve the purchase of an iron worker for the CTE welding program from Baker's Gas and Welding Supply at a cost not to exceed $18,807.93. This purchase will be funded through 61A CTE added cost grant funds.
Can I get a motion regarding the iron worker purchase?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Move to approve the purchase of an iron worker for the CTE welding program from Baker's Gas and Welding Supply at a cost not to exceed $18,807.93. This purchase will be funded through the 61A CTE added cost grant funds.
Support.
Support.
Discussion?
I thought I wanted to do that.
I guess, Leah, can you explain maybe what this is?
Sure. To the best of my knowledge, I wish Mr. Zorn were still here. But from what I understand, it is a machine that takes the long pieces of metal that they get. Like, he'll get metal that'll be 6, 8, 10 foot long. And the students need to have small pieces of that to do their welds. And this machine cuts it very efficiently. Mm-hmm. And the current one is 50 years old. It's original from 1975. And it still, some of the functions on it still work, so they'll keep that. So they have two, but it doesn't cut the thickness that they need it to cut that they use most frequently anymore. So that's the upgrade that's needed.
Okay, yep. Thank you.
Good timing on the presentation.
I know, right?
That worked out
It worked out really well. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
Okay, so for our next two items, it's discussion only. So in the past, we've had the different contracts, and one of the things we committed to our board a few months ago was that as these contracts come up, that before we go out to negotiate the contract, that you have an opportunity to talk with us, like look at these. We have our Mets and ATI contract. If there's anything specific that you're looking at here, so then that way I have the guidance when I go out to do any kind of work with these two contracts, I can do that. And then they'll be coming back in front of you most likely. These are July ones, so most likely in May, June or May.
So is this the only discussion we're having on these is what goes on tonight? Is that what the thought is?
Well, because I'm going to be going into negotiations. That's what it's about. Is there, when you read through these, is there something that I need to be having a specific conversation
yes
on?
Yes or no.
I don't plan on coming back to a further discussion in the future unless there's a reason for it.
Okay.
Except for, like, so if there's a point on here that I need to address, I do it, and then I'll bring it back up, going, okay, this point was addressed or not addressed or what happened.
Well, once you have a contract, then we will discuss the contract.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Any feel for, obviously, with particularly for Mets on wages as far as, I'm assuming, increases? I doubt there's
no, increase. We're going to be pushing, there will be no increase.
Okay.
So there'd be no financial increase or at all, or because didn't one of them do a management increase 1 year?
So, yeah, Mets, management
increase. I can't remember, someone did.
The only increase that you would see inside the Mets is we have employees, so they have a step system, and okay. So you go from 1 year to the next. But as far as like an overall increase, so much per hour increase, we're going to be recommending and talk to about no increase this next year.
Don't some contracts do like a management increase, though, or something like that?
This one already had one.
Built in. Just going to maintain.
It was already addressed in the addendum last year.
Okay.
Is there?
I can't remember which all of them are.
Yep.
Just bringing this up. No shoes thrown at me or whatever. Is there any advantage in trying to freeze the steps, or can you negotiate freezing the steps? I'm assuming you can.
Oh, that's
within the contract.
You can do that. The problem becomes is then. With bus drivers, as we're referring to right here, is then you're in a potential risk factor of your friends down the street.
Sure.
25 cents or 50 cents an hour more, and all of a sudden you say goodbye to two drivers. And
I'm aware of that possibility.
That's the thing that can be brought up is any kind of potential in that freeze. And that's why
if we're looking for some savings, that's a possibility of conversation.
And so that was part of, when we look at our transportation department, that they have their portion of reduction, and they may actually come back and say that's what one of the items that they're going to do.
When we look at the, and I'm going to say this, and again, I don't want to use the wrong word, but an increase in when we get these buses and stuff running, I know we talked about increased routes and things like that. Mm-hmm. So how does that work within there? Is there a you hire until everything's filled, or how does that all...
So,
is that part of the contract, not part of the contract?
So that's not part of the contract. It's all about for the company, they're just... If we determine that we need this many routes to achieve our system, then that's how many drivers they'll supply. And if we can determine that we can do this with less routes, that's what you do, and then that cost then comes down.
So you just talk to them when the situation comes up. There's nothing in the contract that says you can't have those conversations.
Correct.
Okay.
I believe the contract only has what positions that they are providing the services of hiring and managing the employees of. It doesn't specify a certain number of FTEs or routes or anything of that sort. It just lists who we're utilizing them.
And they're strictly transportation, right?
Yes.
At this time, yes.
Yep.
Okay, any further discussion?
Thank you. And then the ATI contract will be a very similar conversation with them. Those are our athletic trainers between Monroe High School, and then it's a halftime position at Monroe Middle School. So unless there's something else on ATI that you want me to...
Yeah, I know when we looked at that contract last time, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, there was something in there about the insurance component of it that we led to a discussion on it. And it had to do with, I believe it was who assumes liability for things that go on, because I remember the whole conversation because they're out there on the field and all those kind of things. And
okay.
And then they had a, I believe they had a portal for which some of the stuff ran through a portal. And I thought they used a third party on that. So just make notes of those. Those are the things that pop off the top of my head.
So the
I believe it was a portal they were using a third party for. I'm assuming it's the same one. I don't think it was theirs.
Yeah, I remember that.
What was the name of it? I don't remember the name of it.
It's PH8.
Yeah.
Player Health. And
so they're still utilizing the
documentation platform.
Yeah.
Allow the school and contractor to better manage and take injury documentation. So it's a secured platform that they use as far as documenting, like if they're doing rehabilitation with a student.
Yeah, because they're utilizing the medical
right.
stuff. So they're still using that one.
Okay.
And the second part of that is how are they doing when students are no longer under their services? How are they handling that?
If they still need rehabilitation.
Or they're done.
Yeah, they're done.
Okay. You know, or they treat on the field, because ATI treats them on the field too.
Yeah.
So they treat them on the field, you know, what kind of medical information, what happens when the students graduate, what happens to the medical information, how long do they have to maintain that, does it go to their doctor, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is their rep is in every single year with us, so they will be here.
Those were the only things I recall from last year.
That's what I needed. Thank you.
Any further discussion on ATI? Hearing none, next we'll move into old business. Now I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw and Mrs. Shook for the state fiscal monitoring update discussion.
We did have our meeting on Monday. Mr. Shaw was not able to join this time because he was in the front with some board members. We discussed the uncertified spring count that Mrs. Jones had provided me. I did let them know about the resignation of the maintenance supervisor that was already in a board report. And then they asked if I was going to have an additional budget amendment besides the final one in June, and I let them know we were only planning on doing the final one in June. We had brief discussions on cash flow. They had a couple of items that they wanted me to take a look at, and it looks like I transposed a couple numbers on my report, so I will fix that on the next time. They do a Google search before our meeting, so they asked me about the news article regarding Orchard, and I just indicated that was something being discussed, nothing had been decided, and they asked also about the severance package proposal, which I did indicate was on the agenda for tonight. And then they let me know, they had mentioned previously that they do a reimbursement program for certain expenses, and they have their preliminary approval, and they'll be sending out the information once they get the final signatures, which would reimburse the district for some professional development for business office and pupil accounting staff, potentially enrollment studies, other data studies and resources. The information that they'll send out will have all those details, and then Mr. Shaw and I can work on a proposal to take advantage of that.
$2.5 million would be my request. Thank you very much. That'll help our budget.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is greater than the allocation of the entirety. But
probably the allocation is for the whole state.
Yeah. So and that was all I have written down that we discussed.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Then SEL, we were working tonight to try and have a couple people come in and do a trails lesson. We were unable to make that happen. We're still working on allowing that to happen. So with that, we have from the administration nothing to go over for SEL. And so, but that is on there for the board as part of your discussion, so too.
Okay.
I just wanted to bring up, I mentioned it, but I want to make sure I mention it on this, and I'm referring to the document that we were given in June, which seems to have the most information on everything. And I want to highlight there were SEL programs at MPS. Now, this was in June, and some of these I know started, but there's Zone of Regulation, Navigate 360, and maybe you're not using them, I don't know. Conscious Discipline, PBIS, Mind Up Curriculum, Leader in Me, Dan Newby, Emotional Literacy, and Trails. And I know our previous conversation was focused on mainly on trails, but I just wanted to highlight that in my notes there's 8. So I don't know if there's still 8, if there's more than 8 or what, but just making note of that so that when we look at trails, we need to know there's a lot more than that too.
So I can share some perspective on that. If they're listed as formal curriculum, that document needs to be updated because the Dan Newby Emotional Intelligence and Emotional Quotient, that's not a formal curriculum. So Dan Newby came to Monroe Public Schools 2013 to 2016, question mark? Yeah. So he came in and did professional development with targeted groups of people around Monroe Public Schools that helped us, I was one of those people, to help us understand how to help students that are experiencing like heightened emotions that are impacting their ability to learn. And then also helped us learn to help each other through coaching. So if that's listed as curriculum, it's not curriculum. It's just some of the tools that we've been given as teachers, as administrators, as school improvement coaches, to help us just be better at what we do from day to day. So it's not part of children, we're going to learn about Dan Newby and emotional intelligence today. It's more of strategies that we now have as tools in our tool belts. So some of the other things that you've listed, was Leader in Me one of them? Because that's also what Manor does and also other schools. Hold on. Is Custer also a Leader in Me now? No, not yet. But Manor's one of our Leader in Me schools. So it's, yes, it's a structured system that helps focus language to help students, families, school community members, teachers, administrators all kind of speak the same language about behaviors, mentality when it comes to learning, how we treat each other. So it's not necessarily like sitting down and we're having a Leader in Me class right now, but there is discussion with teachers on how to do this. There's discussion with children, and we just use certain terminology. So if it's listed as a curriculum, whatever that document is needs to be updated.
So what I shared with you is the document that we received. I believe it came from Jackie. It was in June of 2025. And in there, it's well documented. I mean, she included everything in here, PBIS and SEL. And because TRAILS is part of a conversation, I just wanted to make everybody on the board aware of that according to this document, it says SEL programs at MPS. And that's all I did. And TRAILS is one of them. I just wanted to make everybody aware that those are what are listed as programs. So when you go through TRAILS, and maybe it would be helpful for some of us to know those as well.
If I may, I think Mary explained that very well. When we, like, teachers pull from many different learnings and professional development and readings and all sorts of things. So that is a program that, like Mary said, has come and gone, and teachers cultivate a tool set that they continue to reference over time. TRAILS is more the curriculum.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't list any of these as curriculum. I just know that we're going to talk about TRAILS. It's an ongoing conversation, and these were the ones that were listed in here, and that's really the only reason I mention it, because they're on there, and, you know, maybe if you're doing TRAILS, people might want to know about those as well. So
that would I would put a plug in for Leader in Me. It's a great program. My daughter went through it. Fantastic. I mean, it's not school-related per se. It can be workplace related. It's just 7 timeless principles. I would note, though, that we got vilified for talking about SEL. And if we look at number 8 at the bottom, which was support staff adjustments, when I asked who those people were, they were behavior techs, they were social workers, and there were various others. So I just want to point out that a reduction was talked about in this document that had nothing to do with the conversation we had.
One of the things I also shared is that we also showed on there, though, that, like, for example, the social workers, $425,000 is used from general fund. And so figuring out how to transfer half of that money, because $850,000 is what we're spending, to figure out how to get that spent out of the 31A.
But just like, I wasn't saying that as anything negative. I was saying that so that we have all the information that we need. That was strictly my reason for saying that. and you know, I'm not going to speak for Brian, but just saying that was just stating a fact. Like, these are just pointing things out. Like, it's not drawing a conclusion. I think that the best decisions we can make is when we have as much information as we can. And so that was where that came from.
Thank you.
I like to make good decisions, educated decisions.
Any further discussion? If not, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaws for his second comment.
So I just have three. Spring break is coming up next week, March 28th through the 6th. School is back in session on the 7th. So once we come back from spring break, then all the events get going. And so you're going to see reminders and everything coming out. A Young Entrepreneur Showcase is back at the River Raisin Battlefield on May the 6th, Wednesday. Oh, okay. Great event. What a wonderful venue for our Young Entrepreneur Showcase. And then our Kindness Walk is on Saturday, May 16th. That will be an exciting day. We're doing it beginning and ending it over at St. Mary's Park and that morning. So that's all I have for my comments. We're heading into spring break here.
Okay. What was that? You said the Kindness Walk was?
Is Saturday, May the 16th.
16th. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Public commentary of any topic. Brian, do we have some?
We do have one.
Okay.
Allison Elliott, if you'd like to step forward. And I believe you want to talk about Oaks. So you've got 3 minutes here on the timer. As you can see, I've been pretty generous with people. If they're talking and I don't, Ms. Ziegler, I let you keep talking tonight. I think I gave you 5 minutes.
I don't know.
So I'm going to start it.
Just a correction. It's Orchard, not Oaks.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, penmanship.
I'm thinking OCHS and it's in, yep. Okay. Thank you, Orchard. Go ahead.
Well, good evening. I'm Allison Elliott. And I've been the science teacher at Orchard for the last 5 years. And over that time, I've seen struggling students come in and watch them grow, persevere, largely due to the personal connections they make with our staff and the support that they receive. I believe that this is largely because we provide the in-person seat time education they need. These are students who are they struggle with the traditional setting, but they also struggle with a virtual setting. That being said, I know there's been a great deal of discussion about cost-saving measures, ways to trim our budget deficit, and Orchard has featured in many of these. Much of what has been presented seems to indicate that all of Orchard will relocate to C-Wing. At the high school, I've even went to parent-teacher conferences and had a couple of my kids' teachers say, hey, here, you're coming here, you know, like, welcome. And I'm like, yay. However, listening to the discussions we've had, not my take on it. I keep hearing virtual coming over, and not really the mention of our Orchard. And this is virtual is not what people think of when they hear Orchard. I love virtual, but it's not Orchard. And while I know nothing is set in stone yet, I've heard all of that, what I really need and hope I can get today is some kind of perspective of what the plan is for the in-person seat time classroom teachers and classroom setting of Orchard going forward. Will students have the option of an in-class seat time learning ability in a smaller school within a school setting? And that's really all I have, but I would love to hear your answers for that.
Can we say something?
Usually.
Well, we have in many, many, many occasions, but we can.
But we're not supposed to.
Why don't?
But you can.
So we will be in touch with you because typically we cannot. The Board of Education does not respond in public comment unless it's a very unique situation that we need to bring clarity to. But we will sit down with you and go through clarify all your questions.
Okay. I say stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Is that it?
That is it.
Okay. Thank you. Board member commentary. Any board members with some comments, discussion?
I can start down here if you'd like.
Oh, I do.
Brian, go ahead.
I'm ahead of you, Darla.
I know, go ahead.
Whoa. My time is already up. Thank you very much. I don't think I have a time. My wife's been in Alabama. She's probably listening, wondering what I'm doing with my spare time when she's not around because there's a list of things to do, but I broke my rule and I got on social media based on the Monroe News article that was a, felt like a little bit of a bait click. But there was a lot of comments made on the bait click. And I guess I just want to set the record straight for the board's perspective, because I'm hearing a lot of things directed at the board. The board made no decision to discipline Dr. Hessen. There was no board action taken. That discipline was administered by Mr. Shaw.
There's been no discipline. I'll break that real clear.
Well, okay, sorry. He's on administrative leave. There was no decision made by us to put Mr. Hessen on administrative leave. There was no board action. So I just want to set the record straight. When you hear people saying that the board did that, the board did not do that.
Carrie?
I don't have anything.
So I got someone was asking me, can the band be in the Veterans Day Parade? It wasn't long after that they got a call from someone that Monroe Public Schools will be doing the Veterans Day Parade. So yay, happy to hear that. So just wanted to share.
Okay. Mary?
Nothing for me at this time.
Carrie?
I've got nothing either.
Stacy?
I just have to say I'm loving our new art piece.
I don't know where it's permanently going to be.
Where's this permanent residence?
It's going to be.
It's going to sit behind Andy.
In this building somewhere.
The owl's going to hold.
It's going to sit in this building or in this?
This building.
Somewhere in this building.
Somewhere in this building. Yeah.
Most likely it's going to stay there for a while.
Yeah. You don't like my spot?
Yeah. It is the property of the Monroe Public School Administration. Okay, and that next on our agenda is closed session.
So before we hit do the recess, I want to bring clarity that for the closed session, there's two purposes. The first one is each year, the board has to do a mid-year evaluation on me. So that's when you see in there the very first item. That's for me. The second one is for attorney-client privilege. And so that's a mid-year that's exempt. Okay, and so that's the second rationale. So when everyone's reading into it, all the different reasons. So when it comes to employee stuff, that's me tonight. It's my mid-year evaluation.
Okay, we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll discuss going into closed session.